Well, we're moving into the third week of January, and we will see wineries beginning their sparkling crushes next week. So that's third week. It's fairly normal. There's no major panic about impact of weather, so albeit that it's a little bit difficult to tell about the reds, certainly the whites and maybe some of the sparkling Pinot will come in next week. And then we'll be underway. I'd say by the end of the following week, then we'll be seeing a fair flow of Chardonnay coming to the wineries.
And what's the crop looking like around the Riverland this vintage?
Well, it's always hard to tell, and there's been a lot of concern about some of the likely weather impact, but so far we seem to have avoided any major impact of weather. There is a general belief, and it's a growing one, that Chardonnay is light, and we've seen a significant improvement in demand for Chardonnay in the last week or so. So we've seen some very encouraging upward movement of price there. As far as the reds are concerned, the reports are mixed, but again, until the harvesters really begin their work, it's very, very hard to tell what the yields are. Some have been noting that, albeit the bunches are there, we've got smaller bunches than a normal year. But as I say, we'll wait until the harvesters are working through the patches, and then we'll see just exactly what the impact is going to be. I think we'll go to 400,000 tonnes, probably somewhat lighter than last year.
In terms of a long-term historical view, where does that 400 tonnes sit?
Well, in recent years we've been down around 400 and below. Last year was, according to the Phylloxera board, we did 434,000 tonnes or thereabouts. 400 is around the mark. The region has done 480 in the past, but that's going back a long way prior to the drought. Since then, I think yields have generally been contained. There's a lot of growers who are now trying to concentrate on managing their yields despite the low prices, albeit that low prices always put upward pressure on yield. But I think 400 to 410, 415 is probably a reasonable call at this stage.
Last year, there was quite a bit of angst and concern about the types of prices that were being offered for grapes. Are the same kind of low returns being rumoured and discussed this vintage as well?
The early indications around indicative pricing have been discouraging, let me say. But as I just indicated, the recent upswing in demand for Chardonnay has suggested that some of those rumours around 180 will be put to rest. We've been consistently hearing 235 in the last week. And some of the wineries are now getting a little bit worried about being able to secure the fruit. So hopefully we'll see some upward movement in Chardonnay, and that as we get into the harvest and we see that perhaps the yields are not there, then there'll be some further upward movement, bearing in mind that the prices are indicative and a lot of them are not fixed as yet.
So Chardonnay has experienced quite a lot of ups and downs in terms of demand, and this year it could be a bright spot in terms of the price offered and the crop that's out there.
It's been rumoured, let's say globally, for the last 12 months that the downward pressure is coming off Chardonnay, and certainly this region will benefit from that. We have perhaps almost a quarter of our total plantings to Chardonnay, and so it has a huge impact on our growers and their enterprises, but also it's very important for the region as a whole that we try and maintain and build that farm gate income for the region.
The early 2000s were a high point for the industry in this part of the world. What have the, I guess, continuing falling off of returns since that high point had on growers and the regional economy in the Riverland?
Well, clearly there's been a reduction in the total number of growers. I think at our peak we were about 1,350 growers. We're down to 1,050 now, so we're about 300 below that peak. There's been an upscaling of operations in general. There's certainly been a great increase in emphasis on the need to be competitive, and growers have been working very hard to grow better grapes, what we call fit for purpose, so that we're growing grapes according to what their end use is intended to be. And this region is far and away the best region in the country for growing popular premium product. And sometimes it's tempting for growers to say, well, I'm not getting enough reward at popular premium rates, so I'll use more water and I'll try and increase my tonnes. That's the only refuge a grower has, is to grow a few more tonnes. But by and large, I think the impact of the last few years has been a levelling out of the industry, and there have been a number of growers who have left. but those who are left, we call them young growers, are pretty determined to be here for the long haul. And we must bear in mind that what this region's going through is symptomatic of what's happening globally. There is a massive global oversupply of wine, and we've got to be very mindful of our competitiveness relative to what foreign countries are producing now rather than what we're producing around the rest of Australia. So that adds another dimension. But growers are grappling with it very well, and so are the wineries, beginning to work a lot more closely with growers and to have a much more united approach to this global challenge.
And just finally, if we think about it as a cycle, where do you think the region is? Has it hit the trough and rebounding, or is there still a way to go?
Well, quite honestly, it's hard to imagine how it could go any lower. So I'm optimistic that this region is very well positioned for the recovery. As I've indicated, we've already done a lot of the work to understand what the markets are needing, to listen to what customers are really wanting, to adapt our vineyard practices to produce wine grapes fit for purpose. And I'm really confident that as we ease out of this downturn, and that will depend on a lot of other things, including whether or not we can negotiate a free trade agreement with the European Union, that would make a massive effect. And the indications in recent times with the signing of the free trade with South Korea, Japan and China have really encouraged the industry to recognise that the government is making really good headway there. If we can get a European Union FTA, then it would be a terrific boost for this region's economy and for the wine growers of this region and the winemakers, of course.
Chris Byrne, Executive Officer, Riverland Wine, thank you for your time.
Thanks, Clint.